In the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, amen. Please be seated. Just how much do you know about kings and kingdoms? I have lately been reading John Meacham's huge biography of Thomas Jefferson, and I was rather surprised by how heavily the subject of kings influenced this founding father. Almost everything Jefferson did was in opposition to those Americans who wanted to establish a monarchy right here in this nation. But maybe it seems a little more than relevant in a time when we are still witnessing demonstrations about no kings. Some things never change. And I guess we do know something about them and how we do not want them or need them, except perhaps right here in the church. You see, today is Christ the King Sunday. Did you know this is the 100th anniversary of Christ the King Sunday? It's true, it was started in 1925, which also just happens to be the very year that my dear father was born. Smart aleck that he is, he would say that it is no mere coincidence it announces his arrival into the world. And with six doting daughters, our home was never a democracy. He was indeed king of the castle, complete with his very own throne room, while the seven women in the house shared the other one. But I digress, that is a story for another day. I'm not sure exactly why Christ the King Sunday was started, especially in a day and time in the aftermath of World War I when democracies were very much valued and kings and despots were not so much. But I have the sneaking suspicion that it has something to do with the waning influence of the church in an ever more modern world. Perhaps church leaders thought that people were getting a bit too lax, not regular in church attendance, keeping the laws of the church, and they needed the reminder that Christ is King and they better get back in line. Perhaps that's a message we still need today. I think it is. A king, someone who is in complete control, able to snap his fingers and bid us to do his will, a ruler in whose presence we tremble. Well, maybe not so much. Maybe we don't want someone telling us what to do, but perhaps it is what we need, especially if that king is not just any king, not a self-centered tyrant, not an egomaniac. Our king is Jesus, and that is a king of a different color. Today is a day for us to catch a glimpse of what the kingship of Christ is all about. All the lessons speak to the reality of the kingship of God, past, present, and future. In the passage from the prophet Jeremiah, we find a close link between the idea of king and shepherd. Perhaps it is because King David was first a shepherd boy that this analogy has always struck the minds of God's people. The 23rd Psalm, which we know so well, an image of God as magnanimous shepherd, always protecting, caring, tending. Isn't that what we want in a king? But don't get too sentimental about this shepherd king. Did you know that in Hebrew, the word for shepherd is the same word where we get rule and ruler? The shepherd may be kind and caring, but he is in complete control of the flock. Every decision is laid on his shoulders, and the sheep solely depend upon him. Jeremiah, who uses this stunning picture, contrasting the good shepherd and the bad shepherd, does so in a time in Israel's history when the people had experienced a succession of horrible, abusive rulers. Because of the folly of its leaders, Israel is on the verge of being taken away into the Babylonian captivity. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. And then Jeremiah goes on to promise that the days are coming, hang on, when God will raise up from David a righteous branch. From David, the best loved, the most respected of all the kings, this branch will reign wisely, executing justice and righteousness in the land. Keep in mind that despite all the flaws of kingship in Israel, Jeremiah does not promise an end to kings which is precisely what we did here in the good old US of A. Politicians and office holders, well, we put a limit on their terms and on what they can do, and then if we don't like it, we can vote them out of office. Not with a king. The king did come. The righteous branch of David was, of course, Jesus of Nazareth, and what a different kind of king he was. Jesus was certainly no wimp. He sought out righteousness at every turn, especially for those parts of society that had no one to represent them. He was willing to stand up to the religious rulers of his day, to put his own ministry on the line, to risk his personal reputation, and he would not back down. Compassionate as a shepherd, caring as any shepherd, but also as determined and strong as any shepherd could be. But the gospel also shows us another side and a twist to this Jesus who has been called king. For he did not set up an earthly kingdom, not at all, which is what the Israelites of the day wanted from the king. He wore no kingly garb. He had no court, unless you count his rough and tumble band of disciples as his courtiers. His kingdom, he said, was not of this world. There would be no earthly conquests, no battles to be fought, at least not in the way that they would anticipate battles. Perhaps the very height of this strange shepherd king is portrayed in the gospel reading we heard today, that of Jesus the King who hangs from the cross. His own people cried out, he saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The chosen one. From the cross, he does not appear to be so chosen. The Roman soldiers join in as well. If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Even one of the criminals hanging right there alongside of him railed at him. Could Jesus be the one of whom the prophet Jeremiah spoke? What kind of authority did he have that would lead him to such a humiliating and disastrous end? But if we watch and listen, we will find the reply. What we find in this Jesus hanging from the cross really is the ultimate king. Listen to this, a ruler who cares so deeply for the sheep he shepherds that he is willing to die for them. How many else would do that? Lay down his life, even when they don't have the slightest idea of what he is doing. Lay down his life, even as it is his own who have forsaken him and mocked him and who have taken part in his very crucifixion. In Jesus, we witness the ultimate self-giving and infinite capacity for forgiveness. The other criminal, he saw what no one else could see. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Two pictures of the king Jeremiah portrayed. The first was a benevolent ruler who would literally deliver Israel from the tyranny of their foreign captors and restore their former glory. And then we have the king who actually came, who came in humility, in self-giving, who came not to secure his own glory, but the salvation of his people. But these are not the only images of a king that the scriptures give us. We are given the image of the future king this morning. That letter to the Colossians speaks of a ruler in Christ Jesus that goes far beyond anything we can think or imagine. The one we are to call upon as king, he is the very creator of all that is. What gives him the right to demand of us his complete allegiance, his complete trust? The fact of his very being. He is not simply a friend, a guide, and a companion. He is the source from which we get our very lives. Without him, the scriptures tell us, we would literally fall apart. The atoms of our bodies would simply dissipate into the atmosphere, for Christ is the glue that holds the entire universe together. Ours is no earthly king. He is Lord of all that is. What does it mean for us to claim Christ as king? To acknowledge him as ruler of all we are and all we have? Well, it has something to do with control, our willingness to give it up, which many of us have a hard time doing, to not only ask our Lord to step in, but to fully realize that we do not run the show, not by a long shot, really not at all, how hard that is for us to get through our fixed goals, and we cannot call this life, this thing we do, our own. We must depend upon someone else, outside of ourselves, that one we call God, whom we hail as Christ our King. Just as surely as the Israelites needed to have a king, just as the thief on the cross needed the deliverance only Jesus could give, when we insist on having our own way, when we try everything we can within our power to make things come out the way we want them to be, and somehow it doesn't work out, well, that is a good sign that we haven't quite gotten there yet. We haven't quite figured out this Christ the King. The reality is we simply cannot control the circumstances of life. We cannot even control ourselves. I dare you to try. The cookies beckon to us from the cookie jars and we respond. Think of all those New Year resolutions, those Ash Wednesday promises that go by the wayside, and oh, how quickly they go by the wayside. Think of the times you've said to yourself, well, I will never do that again, only to find yourself saying, oops, I did it again. To worship Christ as King means we must see him as the most powerful force in our lives, and to go beyond even that, to know in the deepest recesses of our hearts, yes, I am willing to trust you, Lord, in every single area of my life. I am willing to give up control and bow to the authority and the wisdom and the kindness of the one true King. Today is the feast of Christ the King. 100 years we have been proclaiming it. Truth be told, we have been proclaiming it for 2,000 years. Isn't it time for us to live into it? Each week we affirm it as we belt out that creed. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ. We affirm it again when we confess our sins, which is really confessing that we have been at the helm trying to direct our own lives and it has gone off the tracks. We affirm it once more when we come to the communion rail and when you stretch out your hands, empty as they can be, for we must so empty ourselves of ourselves to receive the one we proclaim as Lord. And we declare it in the final proclamation, let us go forth in the name of Christ, Christ the King. What a lovely idea. Maybe in another 100 years or so, we will really have it down pat. May our allegiance be with him now and always, this day and forever. Amen. Amen.